And we are in Matthew chapter 5 as we continue to study the Sermon on the Mount. And I tell you what, this study that we have been in has, it has fed my soul. It has been good stuff as we have looked at the words of King Jesus about what true righteousness looks like. And we're going to continue in that vein tonight. We're going to pick up our journey through the greatest message ever preached by the greatest preacher to have ever preached. And as we referenced earlier, the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount is to teach us about true righteousness. That God wants us to have a righteousness that will fulfill you, please God, and that will change your world. Now, if we have seen anything so far in our study, it's that the path to blessedness doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The world teaches us that to be happy, we must begin by accepting who we are and being pleased with ourselves. King Jesus teaches us that in order to be truly blessed, in order to be truly happy, we must begin by being poor in spirit, or realizing that we are hopelessly incomplete, that we have hopelessly fallen short of God and His standard, and that we are in desperate need of Almighty God. King Jesus' path to blessedness defies the routine wisdom of this world. The world says, discard your cares. But Jesus teaches us to weep for our sins. The world says, live with no restraint. Jesus teaches us to live yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. The world says, be full and be merry, be filled. Jesus says, though only by developing a bottomless craving for God and His righteousness, will you ever be filled. Now, as we looked at this path to blessedness, we started last week as we relate to God. Because if we're going to be blessed, it has to start with who we are on the inside, who we are. But today, tonight, we're going to shift from how this path is walked with God to how this path of blessedness is walked in light of the world in which we live. Because what's on the inside will come out. Who we are will come out in the ways we act. By the way, just before we get into these tonight, I want to make mention that all of these that we're going to look at tonight deal with relationship and connection, deal with our walk with the world among us. And so in this day and age where you feel isolated, you might feel alone, this sermon is designed to reconnect you in a blessed way with the place that God has put you. And I'll remind us as well before we get into it, there's a lot of talk about crisis, but crisis doesn't make us. It reveals us. And so this blessed life ought to be our reality no matter the time in which we find ourselves. So let's look at this together tonight, beginning in verse number 7. The Bible says this, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So what is the path to blessedness in the ways that we act? Well, first of all, it is patience when facing crisis. Patience when facing crisis. Blessed are the merciful. I want you to understand the challenge tonight, if you would. Mercy, by definition, is the ability to take on another's struggle as your own. It is gentle compassion to the miserable and the helpless, especially in cases in which they no way deserve it. I can't think of a better example or illustration of mercy than what God did for us. You look in your Bibles at Ephesians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1, you find this, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins, whereunto in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Pause right there, Charlie, if you would. You think about that. Think about who we were before Christ. We were dead in our sins. We were doomed in our sins. In fact, the Bible is very clear that before we came to Christ, that the wrath of God abided on us. Not only by nature, but these verses, Ephesians chapter 2, show how not only in our nature, but also in our actions, how we time and time and time again rebelled against God. Verse number 4, "But God." But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. You think about what God did for you. And God saw the miserable state you were in. And God saw the helpless state you were in. And God had compassion and took pity on my soul. And sent his son. Sent his son for me. As Paul put it in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 21, that he made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to tell you what, that church is the illustration of the definition of mercy. To take one's struggle as your own to provide relief and comfort and help to the miserable and helpless, especially those who don't deserve it. And when you think about mercy like that, you know what you're going to find? That there is no end of opportunity for you to be merciful to people around you. I use the word patience in my point because I really think that's a beautiful description of where mercy starts. That we quit getting so fed up. We quit getting so overwhelmed, so inconvenienced by people's failures and people's mistakes. And we start to see them where they are, see them how God sees them. You start with those who can't reciprocate it. You serve. That's mercy. That you find somebody who you can help and there's no way they can pay it back. That's mercy. With those who can't reciprocate it and move on to those who don't deserve it. Mercy. And the Bible teaches us that by understanding this truth, by giving yourself to show mercy to others, to pick up those who've fallen, to love on those who are weak, to pray with those who are discouraged, to give to those in need, to meet the need with patience and not get overwhelmed because they always do this or they're always so needy, but to in mercy love them, the Bible says that you will receive all the mercy you need for yourself. Proverbs 11 and verse number 17 puts it this way, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." Doesn't always make a whole lot of sense, but it works. You know what the blessed life is? The blessed life comes out in the ways we act. Get your head up this week, church. Find somebody. Maybe they live next door to you or across the street. Maybe they work down the hall from you. Maybe it's an extended family member, somebody you know, and they are overwhelmed with life. Show them mercy. Show them mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want you to pause even now, and I want you to let the Holy Spirit lay a soul upon your heart. You know, so often we hit through these things and we just run through them. That's good. Jot the note, move on to point number two. But who is it that you can show mercy to this week? Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But Jesus goes on. He says in verse number 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. So what is this path to blessedness that reveals itself in the ways that we act? Well, first, we saw that it is patience when facing crisis. Secondly, we see in verse number 8, we see that it is purity when facing corruption. Purity when facing corruption. I want you to notice what's said here in verse number 8. It says, blessed are the pure in heart. Let's think about the part for a minute, the heart. The heart, the emotions, the spiritual and mental center of you. It is the real you. Who you are. You know, sometimes we just get running with life and we find that we don't give a lot of thought or concern to our heart, to who we really are deep down, what it is about us that's driving our reactions and responses, what's driving our emotions and all of those things. But the heart, the Bible teaches, is really the most important part of who we are. Because both physically and spiritually, you can never have a life that exceeds the quality of your heart. Solomon put it this way in Proverbs chapter 4. He said, keep thy heart, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so we see the part. It is that innermost part of who we are. But the part is called to be pure. That word pure has the idea of genuine, whole, free from that which is unclean. Now, that's hard to do in the dirty, nasty world in which we live. You can't watch nothing these days. You can't hardly listen to nothing these days without it just being filthy. Without it just being filthy. You know the principle, though, and this is why we have to guard our heart, because the Bible teaches that if we put garbage in, guess what's going to come out? Garbage out. And so we guard our heart. We want to keep our heart pure. But we got to have a standard for that. Because Brother Belcher's standard, if it were just up to him, would be different than mine, and mine would probably be different than Frank's or Brother Brown's. And so what is that standard that we are called to that allows us to have a blessed life? Well, that standard is God. That standard is His holiness and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to go ahead and use it again because I think it's beautiful. If your standard's not God, here's what happens. Brother Belcher, if you would you come up here for just a second? I'm going to borrow you. And I'm going to borrow the other two gentlemen over here. You get Brother Frank, Brother Brown, come on up here. Not a ton of people to choose from, so if you showed up tonight, sorry about your luck. All right, so you guys stay off in the wings for now. Brother Belcher here will stay properly socially distanced. Please step up. Brother Belcher here, he is evaluating his heart, and he's evaluating his life, and he desires to know that he is pure in heart. But if our standard's not God, then what becomes our standard? Things around us, ourselves. And so when we look for something to judge ourselves by, do we generally pick out things that are better than us or worse than us? I'll let you answer that to your own conscience. So Brother Belcher, he finds somebody that in his heart and mind he is more pure than. Who is that, Brother Belcher? Brother Frank. Come on, Brother Frank. And so Brother Frank, if you step right up here. And so all of a sudden, I need you to slide just right in the front there for me. That'd be great. Yes. So Brother Belcher has now decided he is pure in heart because he is purer in heart than Brother Frank. But you know, Brother Frank's not paying a whole lot of attention to Brother Belcher. Brother Frank's got his eyes on somebody unholier than him. Bill Brown, come on up. Oh, yes. And so Brother Brown steps up here, and Brother Frank, in his heart and mind, says, you know what? I'm pure in heart. Hallelujah, amen. Because I'm purer in heart than Brother Brown. And Brother Belcher is saying, I'm pure in heart. Hallelujah, amen. Because I am purer in heart than Brother Frank. Well, Brother Brown, we're now kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. But you know what? There's always somebody worse than you, right? And so Brother Brown looks around and he picks out the worst humanity has to offer. Charles Kaufman, would you please come to the platform? He's acting like he's got a fool with the camera, but he just doesn't want to take his place. And so Brother Brown sets his eyes on somebody that he is pure than, and he says, hallelujah, I am pure in heart because I'm better than Brother Kaufman. But Brother Wiesner is saying, hallelujah, I'm pure in heart because I'm better than Brother Brown. And Brother Belcher is saying, I'm pure in heart because I'm better than Brother Frank. And when we compare ourselves among ourselves, you know what the Bible says about that. We are what? Unwise. You know why? Because when we compare ourselves among ourselves, what ultimately becomes the standard? The worst humanity has to offer. I'm in the wrong place, aren't I? The worst humanity has to offer. When we compare ourselves among ourselves, this is where we end up. Thank you, gentlemen. But I'm going to tell you, ending up comparing yourself to the worst humanity has to offer, it's not going to lead you to a blessed life. It's not going to lead you to a true righteousness that allows you to make a difference in your world. It's not. God is the standard. And ultimately, God is saying that we be holy as He is holy. That we be genuine, that we be real. And here's the blessing. When the part, the heart, matches the what we've been told here, being pure, do you see the product? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why is it that they shall see God? Hold on. Who were their eyes fixed on anyways? Who was their standard to begin with? God. And I'm going to tell you something. When your eyes are fixed on God, do you know what you start seeing everywhere you look? You start seeing the hand of God. You know what you start seeing, even in every difficulty? The blessing of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the promises of God. You see God. And it is no mistake that those who are pure in heart, they are pure in heart because they have set their heart to the right standard. And because they have set themselves to see God as the standard, they begin to see God as their satisfaction, as their sustenance in every situation. It's patience when facing crisis. You know what? You're going to have an opportunity in the coming days and weeks to show some mercy. It is purity when facing corruption. Don't go there. Go there. Hey, that's when we're in church. That's when we're in our devotions. That's when we're on the internet. That's when we're posting on social media. That's when we're commenting on other people's social media posts. That's when the governor does something we agree with, when the governor does something we disagree with, the president does something we like, or the president does something we dislike. Purity. Set your affections on things above. Purity when facing corruption. Hey, what are we called to be as the church? We're called to be a light and a salt. Why don't we interject a whole lot of purity into this great big problematic situation? The path to blessedness, it comes out in the ways we act. First, patience when facing crisis. Secondly, purity when facing corruption. Finally, look at verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. So it is patience when facing crisis. Blessed are the merciful. Purity when facing corruption. Blessed are the pure in heart. But finally tonight, it is peace when facing conflict. Peace when facing conflict. Blessed are the peacemakers. I remind you this tonight, and this is a tremendous truth for all of us. True peace is based on principle. True peace is based on principle. Because what is right and what is true does not change. This idea that's out there of peace at any cost, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. History tells us over and over and over again that it doesn't work. Before, leading up to World War II, when I believe it was Chamberlain was trying to pacify Adolf Hitler, and it was peace at any cost. How'd that work out? Think of more recent instances, even in our own history, with countries like North Korea and Iran. Peace at any cost doesn't work. But peace, true peace, is based on principle. And I'll tell you this, true peace is not always possible. In fact, the Bible admonishes us this in Romans 12 and verse number 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, in order for us to make peace, we've got to get rid of what separates. Do you know what has separated from the very beginning? Sin. The first sin separated man from God. The second recorded sin we see in the scripture, Cain murdered his brother Abel, and we see sin separating man from other men. For us to truly be able to make peace, we've got to work to get rid of what separates. That is sin. And church, we've got to stand for this. People love to quote that we ought not judge. Don't judge me. You can't judge me. The Bible says, that's like the new John 3:16. Judge not that you be not judged. People who never come to church, I mean, it used to be 50 years ago they knew John 3:16. Now they know Matthew 7:1. Judge not that you be not judged. Okay. I don't judge. I just pass along the judgment the judge has already decreed. Right is right, and wrong is wrong, and it doesn't change. And for us to have peace, it must be based on principle. Because the great reality is, the greatest hindrance to peace is simply this, that we don't have peace with God. And what is it that man must know that he is separated from God by his sin before he can have peace with God through Jesus Christ? True peace is based on principle. Help others make peace with God. Help others to rally around the truth of God that doesn't change. Make peace. Be a peacemaker. It's not always possible. But when it is, we as believers ought to be that voice that helps to bring it to pass. And I want you to notice this. The Bible says of those who will give themselves to make peace, that they shall be called the children of God. They shall be called the children of God. You know what that means? That means that the world will recognize the fact that the character and the nature and the power and the plan of God is being worked out in their lives. It is an identifying thing. Where in the Bible, especially in the Eastern line of thought, the idea of being the child of somebody, it had the idea of character. Like when Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes that they were of their father, the devil. didn't really mean that the devil was responsible for them being born. What it meant was that they were acting like the devil. When you and I give ourselves to create peace based on the principles of God's word, do you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that even the world will recognize that we bear the character of God. I said it this morning, it's such a burden on my heart. Let it not be said when this is past. Let it not be said when even our lives are past that the church was absent from life and that people failed to see Christ. Let them see Christ in you. Let them see Christ as you make peace. Patience, purity, peace. Patience, purity, peace. It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks ahead of us, church. Do you know what our homes could use in this time? Patience, purity, peace. I'd say that is a path to blessedness. Do you know what your factory, do you know what your office could use during this time? Patience, purity, peace. Do you know what our church could use during this time? Patience, purity, peace. You see, the blessed life, it does begin with who we are, but who we are becomes the ways that we act. And church, we have an opportunity in front of us to show the world that the blessed life, the abundant life that Jesus promised isn't contingent upon circumstances, isn't contingent upon my getting what I want when I want, but that God is good and He is good all the time, and all the time He is good. And that's not just something we say to get an amen. It's the reality that we live. Patience, purity, peace. That's the way to the blessed life. I'm going to ask Mrs. Wiesner if she would to come. And I'd never want to have a church service where we don't have an opportunity to respond to God. I'm going to ask those who are here with us tonight if they would to stand. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And every one of us, whether we're here in the church sanctuary, we're listening by way of radio, we're watching by way of internet, God has spoken through His word. Would you, in the quietness of your heart, respond to God? Maybe it is somebody that you can show some mercy to this week. Maybe it is a situation where God would have you be a peacemaker. Maybe God has spoken to you about getting your eyes back on Him. However God has spoken, we're going to have a verse or two of invitation. Every one of us, bow our heads and close our eyes and respond to Almighty God.